Good evening, folks. It's lovely to see you out with us this evening, and it's lovely to be here. I always say it'd be nicer sitting looking up rather than looking down. But it's nice to have the privilege of coming along this evening because it's something I do enjoy, and is ministering the word and just teaching and preaching the gospel. And I want to thank you who have been praying for us all week. We've been up there in Moneymore, delivering oil all day and running at night, and you kind of get a bit tired on it. Now, if it was Alan's age, it would be worse, but I'm a bit younger than him. But you do get a bit tired on it, but it's wonderful when you get up there and you get singing the hymns and you get into the pulpit. The Lord gives you the fire and the power in your soul. He really does. And we've had a great week. We really enjoyed it. We girls stayed behind in the Monday night wee bit. Well, she was up and down of herself, and with just a wee time with her. And then another lady stayed behind on Thursday night and accepted Christ as her Saviour. And we do rejoice in that. And that's an answer to prayer, you know. That's God working with us through an answer to prayer as well. So you're part of it. All right? You're part of it. Okay? No one takes any glory. The glory belongs to the Lord. So we're fired up again for another week with another one ahead of us. And we're looking forward to going on there tonight. And then Monday through to Friday each night. And I would ask you to pray. And Friday night it was, the wee church was bunged right to the front rows. And it was lovely to see that. And we're having another special Friday night this week. And I would ask you to pray just for every night of the mission, that the Lord's blessing would rest and abide upon that area. And that there'd be a real breaking through in the salvation of precious souls. And then after that, we're heading away up to Cross Gyor. That's a good place to go to. And we're going up there to do a mission with young folk. And so we'd value your prayers for that. There's a prayer letter at the door, and just to pray for us as we go about serving the Lord. And I would feel free to take that and remember us in prayer, please. Now let's turn to the book of Acts chapter 16 this evening. And we're just going to take a look at this particular chapter this evening in the Gospel. Paul's one of my favourite character studies from the day of his conversion to the day of his death. And what a tremendous example and encouragement he is to us all. Take a look there at verse 36 of chapter 15 just for a moment. Paul's with Barnabas, and he's about to have a conversation with him. Verse 36, Acts chapter 15, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. Isn't that lovely? And you can see these two boys together now, Barnabas and Paul, just talking about the work that they've been involved in there. And you see, Paul doesn't only have a desire for the souls of sinners, but he has also a desire for the individuals who have come to Christ through the preaching of the gospel, to see them go on with God. Yeah. For when you first get saved, you know, you'll be all fired up and all the rest, but you need somebody there just to encourage you as well. And I always thank God for old men who helped me. There was two old men especially who helped me way back. Many men, two old brethren men, and boys who were good creators. One of them had hands on them like navvy shovels. And he was a drunkard. And maybe some of you know him, old Bill Russell. He's a good one, I'm telling you. And then he had a friend, and that was George Somerville. And George was a good one too. And George and him took us under their wing, and they sought to help us and encourage us. And the same spirit as Paul here. And Paul coming to Barnabas, he saying, Barnabas, let's go and visit these different places where we preach the gospel and where these people were getting saved. And let's see how they're doing. How they're getting on. Do they need our help? Do they need our encouragement? And I like that about him. You know, and he has a concern not only for sinners, but he has a concern for the saints. Yeah. But problem rose here in this chapter. An issue, I'm not going into it tonight. Down there from verse 37 on ahead down to the end of the chapter. And there was a bit of a contention. And they separated and went their different ways. And Barnabas, he took John Mark and he headed off to Cyprus. And Paul, he headed along with Silas and a few others. And they went to visit the different areas to see how the churches were doing. So we're in chapter 16 and verse 1. Then came Paul to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, or Timothy, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were in Lystra, or at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. We'd have to stop at that verse again, wouldn't we? What was his main purpose of visiting these churches? To see them established in the faith. To see them built up. To see them grow in grace and in the love of the Lord. You can see the man's heart, can't you? By his actions. And you'll notice as he visited these churches, you'll notice what the last phrase of that verse says, that they increased in number daily. If we've seen one soul saved in this church every Lord's Day evening, boys, would not we be rejoicing? Do you see our prayer meetings? They'd become alive. And if we were to see things happen, but in the church back up here, yeah, nothing fancy, no computers, no network or nothing like that. Just men filled with the Holy Ghost preaching the Word and God working with them and through them. And every day there were being people added to the church daily. Souls saved every day in life through the preaching of these great men. Tremendous, isn't it? Thrills my heart, you know. And when you read about this, it gives you a hunger and it gives you a thirst to see it happen today in 2016. Can it happen today? Well, has God changed? He's the same God as in Paul's day, as in our day. And God can move again today. In fact, it's not that long ago, through the ministry of an old boy called Nicholson and Mullen and other mighty men whom this province has known, whom God moved through. And I mind when I first got converted away back there in 1982 this month, all those years ago. Listen, you were going out to missions, not wondering would anybody get saved. You were going out saying, I wonder how many's going to come to the Lord tonight. Because every night through those missions, there were people being gloriously saved. It was absolutely marvelous. And when you got into the prayer meeting was packed. And when you get into the prayer meeting, you could hardly get a word in edgeways. If you didn't get in there right after the other boy stopped or a lady stopped, you wouldn't have got in. And the place was just alight. The place was just buzzing. I think we need to get back there, you know. Lost the vision. Are we buzzing? Enthusiasm for the Word of God. Enthusiasm for the place of prayer. Enthusiasm for the work of the evangelist. I don't care who you are, where you are, what you do. Listen, every day in your life is an opportunity to be a witness for Jesus Christ. So the churches were established in the faith and they increased in number daily. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this reading of thy word. We know time beats us at times when we come to the reading of the truth, for it's so such a blessing to our souls. And Father, when we read about Paul and those who were with him on this occasion, and we see your work at first-hand value here, how, Lord, it gives us a real thrill to our very souls. To see, Lord, that which thou canst do, and what you've done for others, you can do for us. And we pray tonight, Lord, that you would just close us in with yourself, that you would take away every distracting thought, and that you might bless us in the preaching of the gospel this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Folks, we have read this portion of Scripture. It's 25 to 8, and I'm going to let you out for 8 o'clock, God willing. So, we're going to see how we get on. I really enjoyed Richard this morning. Did you enjoy Richard this morning? Yeah, I did too, brother. Tremendous word, an encouraging word, and it was a blessing and a thrill to my soul. Yeah, so Paul, here we have him, and he's going around here visiting the churches. He's a burning desire, a desire in his soul, to go into other areas in order to minister and to preach the word. And we can see him, he's all fired up and ready to go. If you're alongside this boy, I'm telling you, you wouldn't have spent much time footing about. He was always busy about what he could do for God. And we can see here that he was visiting different areas, and all of a sudden, the Lord intervened in the ministry that he was involved in at this particular time. Because humanly speaking, it was his desire to go into a place called Asia, into that area. It was his desire to go into that place called Bethania in order to present the message of the gospel to those people. But it was not the Lord's desire for him to do so at that particular time. Therefore, the Lord intervened in the circumstances that he found himself in. And you and I are told in this portion of Scripture that the Lord came to him as he had a desire to go into these areas. The Holy Ghost came upon him, and he was forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Therefore, he moved on with the intentions that he would go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered him not. And we can see here in these particular verses of Scripture, in Acts chapter 16, verses 7 and 6 and 7, the desire of the man, but his desire was not what the Lord desired for him to do at that particular time. And though he wanted to go, the Lord said no. That's a hard one, isn't it? But as you study and as you observe and as you look at the life of the Apostle Paul, you'll see that he not only obeyed God when God said go, but you'll also recognize that he obeyed God when God said no. And he listened to the leading of the Lord. He was aware of the leading of the Spirit of God in his life and in his ministry at this particular time. And in obedience to the Lord not permitting him to go into these areas, we discover that he comes down to a wee town here in verse 8. And passing by Mysia,
he came down to Troas, a little seaport, and he came down there and he settled down for the night. Unaware of what the Lord had planned, unaware of what the Lord was now going to do with him, unaware of exactly where the Lord wanted him to be. And as he comes into Troas, he settles down here for the night, and he goes to bed and he goes to sleep contented, just waiting on the leading of the Lord. Now I want to stop here. Many miles away in another part of the world, there is a young woman, her name is called Lydia. Now this girl Lydia that we're about to introduce you to, she knows nothing about this man called Paul. She has never met him, she has never seen him, she has never heard about him. But this young lass called Lydia, she's from a place called Thyatira originally, but she had moved up to the city of Philippi in order to set up a business that she had now begun back home in her hometown. She had moved into the bigger city to set up the business to a greater degree, and it was working out very well for her. She had a good business head, and it would seem to me that as you examine this young lady's life, that this young lady, though she was a Gentile, that she had turned to Judaism, as it were. We read about her here in verse 14 of this particular chapter. It talks about this certain woman named Lydia. We see what she did. She was a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. And we can see here her actions, which worshipped God, which would indicate that she had a certain aspect of religion about her. And though this young lass was doing well in business and had set up business in the city, and everything seemed to be going very good, we recognize something about her actions here. When it came round to the Sabbath at this particular time, it would seem to me that she shut up her business and she took time to worship God. She was honest. She was upright. She was sincere. But when it came to spiritual matters, she was sincerely wrong. Because she was trusting in her own self-righteousness in order to give her acceptance with God. You see, she knew about God, but she didn't know about salvation. And she went to her place of worship, and she prayed, and she done all those things that a Christian should do, but she wasn't saved. She thought she was ready for heaven, but she was only a heartbeat away from hell. Is that a picture of you tonight, dear friend? You attend Lurgan Baptist Church faithfully, Sabbath by Sabbath. You maybe read your Bible. You maybe say your prayers. You maybe do no one any harm. You know, throughout the scripture and times we hear of people being saved who came from, as it were, the rough side of the broad road. But here we have a lady who's not on the rough side of the broad road, but she's on the clean side of the broad road. But I want to tell you something, whether it's on the dirty side or whether it's on the clean side, that broad road leads to the same place, to the lake of fire. And dear friend, in Lurgan Baptist Church tonight, if you're not saved when you come to die, you will be lost in hell for all eternity. That's what the Bible says. For Jesus said himself, he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to heaven. It's in and through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. For there's none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and there's life and there's lasting joy. Lord Jesus, it's found in thee. And here's a lovely girl here. She's a lovely example of a girl, great businesswoman, religious, respectable, and all the rest. But listen, she's on her road to a lost eternity. And little does she know that God's going to send him on her path, over her path, in order to point her the way to Calvary. This day in her life was going to be different than any other, because it was going to be a day that would change her life forever. Now watch the Bible reading again. Paul was in Troas, bedded for the night, verse 9. And while he was in Troas, we are told in the Word of God that a vision appeared to Paul in the night. What was the vision? There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. That's the vision. A cry in the night. A call for help. Paul, would you come to Macedonia? That's why God didn't allow him to go into Asia. That's why God forbid him to go into Bethania at that point. Because God had something else for him to do. And I want to say to you young folk tonight in the meeting, listen, leave your lives open for God. Because as you come to church each Sunday and you're seeking God's will and you're not sure of God's direction that you're going, listen, it's a good thing to listen and to study and to leave your heart open before the Lord. And when the Lord speaks, follow. And I can see Paul this night and he's getting this vision. And this vision's the vision of a man crying unto him, come over into Macedonia and help us. And awakening in the morning, verse 10 says, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. Why? Assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Isn't it lovely now? There was no hesitation here whatsoever. There was no questioning God's plan, God's purpose. He was absolutely sure in his heart that what he had seen in the night was a call from God to go to Macedonia in order that he might preach the gospel to them. Immediately we endeavored to go, because we know that it's the Lord has called us. And we know why the Lord has called us, is to preach the gospel unto them. And you can read verses 11 and 12 and you'll discover that he sets out, he and his friends, and they make the journey by land and on water, and they eventually land in the community of Macedonia, and they head up through it and they come to this wee place called Philippi, this city, this place. Now listen to this, where this lady called Lydia abides. Isn't it lovely? You often hear that wee verse quoted from Jonah, salvation is of the Lord, don't you? How many times do you hear it quoted, but how true it is. And what you have here is you have a sinner, and you have a saint, and you have a sovereign. And the sovereign is directing the saint to the sinner, in order that they might be brought to Christ. The same thing happened in the book of Acts chapter 8. Concerning the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. And we can see the hand of the Lord upon the whole situation as he brings these two people together. But we discover here that Paul arrived along with his group. They came to Philippi, verse 12, which is that chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And the Bible says that they were in that city abiding certain days. As they arrived amongst the people, as they communed with the people, as they observed the people, you will discover this, that they did not go into the city, all guns blazing, preaching the word. They abide in the city for certain days. Maybe they were seeking to find a place for the rest. Maybe they were seeking a place for food or whatever. I do not know what they were doing. But they were here in the city for certain days, and eventually it came round to the Sabbath day, according to verse 13. And the Bible says, on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a prayer, by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. I want you to see the emphasis behind this boy's ministry. He realized before he would go out before the people of Philippi, this great city, and preach the message of the gospel to them, he felt the necessity that they needed to get alone in a quiet place on the Sabbath day in order that they might seek the face of God on behalf of the people and cry unto God for his grace to help in the work of God. You say to me, what do you think he prayed for that day? Well, I think he prayed for three specific things. He might have prayed for many more, but he was there to do the work of the evangel. He was there to preach the gospel. He was there to reach the lost. I don't think he was praying for the missionaries around the world at this time. I think he was praying for his own activity and those who were with him in the city of Philippi. You say, what was he praying for? Number one, I believe he prayed that the Lord would give the people a desire to listen to the preaching of the truth. That's the first thing. You know, there's people in this meeting tonight and you have no desire to listen. You're here, but you're turned off. And I believe one of the prayers that the fellowship made here down by the riverside was this: oh God, would you give these people a contented heart to listen to the preaching of the truth? Number two, Lord, would you move in their hearts? Would you open up their understanding to their great need of the truth that we're going to preach about? Number two. Number three, Lord, would you give to these people whom you speak to, whom you challenge, whose hearts you're going to open, Lord, would you give to these people a desire to respond to the truth that they've come to know? I believe he's praying for souls. The very fact that he's praying to such a degree and such an extent shows to me also that this great man, Paul the Apostle, the man who penned the majority of the New Testament scriptures, led of the Spirit of God, listen, he also recognized in the work of God he couldn't do it alone. For without the Lord we can do nothing. And our labor is in vain. And Paul knew this. And Paul was aware of this, and he was down praying that the Lord would give him the power to preach the gospel to those who would hear. And it was there, as they were seeking the Lord by the riverside and praying for on behalf of the people, it was there that they had their first evangelical meeting. And the first evangelical meeting that they had on this occasion was with a group of women. It was a women's meeting. Yeah. And there wasn't hundreds at it either. There was maybe just a small group of women. If there's something I hate anybody saying to me is this, and sometimes they've said it to me, and they've got a hot ear about it, I hate asking you to come to preach because there's so few there. I'm not really worried about numbers as individuals. The Lord took time to send Philip to the eunuch, one man. The Lord Jesus himself, when he was going towards Jerusalem, listen, he must needs go through Samaria. Why? To meet one woman. As he was going through Jericho, we met a man by the edge of the road. He was a beggar. As he went on through into the town, he met another man up a tree who was a rich man, a wee Zacchaeus. Oh, he's a twisted wee boy. But he needed saved. And God can straighten out wee twisted boys. Hallelujah. Yeah. And here is a gospel campaign that's starting down by the riverside. It's not in the fancy building. There's nothing going on. It's just by a riverside. And as they begin to minister the word of God down here by the riverside, listen, the Bible tells me, I want you to see this. I was looking at this just last night and thinking about it today. I want you to see him here. Do you see his posture? It says, and we sat down. I was thinking of our brother sitting here this morning with the wee ones, you know. Did you see him getting down? If I got down, I might have bothered getting back up again. But I was just thinking, he got down with the wee ones. And you can see Paul and Silas and the group of them, and they're sitting down. We sat down to talk to the women. What did he want to tell them? He wanted to tell them about the gospel. Now watch, and I'm finished. What happened? Verse 14. Yeah. We sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia. There she is. Oh, she's been coming here week in and week out. Unknown to her, God has been speaking to Paul the way back up there. In Troas, she knows nothing about it. And God's bringing him down here. Do you know where God has brought him to? He's brought him to the very place where the woman is. Hallelujah. And he begins to speak to the women here in verse 14. And it says, And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, number one, heard us. She had an ear to hear as he preached the gospel. And she heard him. And I want to tell you something. It's wonderful how the word of God just singles her out. This girl called Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God. There she was amongst those group of women, as Paul sat, as well as his friends, sitting down to talk to these women. And as he spoke to them about their need of salvation, she heard them. She's listening. And as she listens to the man preach the message of the gospel, what does he preach? Well, he has got to be straight and plain with her. And he lets her know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For there's none righteous, no, not one. That is, by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm only throwing out a few verses of scripture for Lurgan Baptist Church here tonight. You see, you're not come to Christ until you recognize you're a sinner. You not go to the doctor until you're sick. And you've got to recognize the way you stand before God. You're a sinner, dear friend, tonight. And this girl stood and she heard the gospel. And do you know something? As she listened to the preaching of the gospel, she came to an understanding in her heart because the Lord opened her heart. You see what the verse says? As she listened, yes, verse 14, verse 14, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us. Now listen to it. What she heard, the Lord began to move in her heart, for the Bible says, whose heart the Lord opened.
When it talks about the Lord opening a heart here, it just simply means that he's giving her an understanding of the truth of her need of salvation. You see, I went one time away back in, I think it was 1980, I went to hear a great preacher up in Armagh in the Baptist Church on the Mall. A powerful preacher. Used of God mightily. Mr. Mullen. Now listen. I went into that meeting that night and I came out of that meeting. I couldn't tell you one thing that was said. You know why? I was turned off. The God of this world had my minds blinded. Never heard a thing. The next time I went into a meeting, I came to an understanding of the truth that I needed to be saved, but I chose to walk away from the Lord, and I said, not tonight, I'll do it some other time, and I rejected the Lord. The third time I came under conviction again, and the Lord opened my heart, because that second time he opened my understanding in my head concerning my need of a Savior. But until the heart is open, for man believeth with the heart. And that was the night I realized that I needed to be saved. That was the night I came to Jesus as I was, weary, worn, and sad, found in him a resting place, and he made me glad. And I want to tell you something. That's exactly what's happening in the heart of this woman. She's listening with her ear, and the Spirit of God begins to open the understanding of her heart, whereby she responds to the call of God to her soul. And the Bible tells me here in verse 14, yes, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And there by the riverside, I want to tell you something. She came to Jesus as she was, weary, worn, and sad, and found in Christ a resting place. Hallelujah, he made her glad. You see, she not only opened her heart, but she opened her home. Take a look at the last verse of chapter 16, verse 40. And they went out of the prison. That was Paul and Silas. Where did they go? They entered into the house of who? They entered into the house of Lydia. She not only opened her heart to the Savior, but she opened her home to the saints. And when Paul and Silas were released from prison, they went out of the prison, they entered into the house of Lydia, and when they had seen the brethren, hallelujah, they're there. What are they doing? What are they doing meeting in Lydia's house? Lydia's house became a meeting place for the saints of God. And they came to the Lydia's house. They seen the brethren. They comforted them. And then they departed. But I've got to ask the question, what are these boys doing at Lydia's house? What is this collective group doing at Lydia's house? I put it to you this evening. I personally think they're praying for Paul and Silas. I think they're interceding before God. I think they're crying unto God that God would bring these men out of danger, out of a prison cell, just as the church did in Acts chapter 12. And Paul and Silas is at Lydia's house. That's the young girl has come to the Lord. Hallelujah. She's given her heart to the Lord. She's given her home to the Lord. She's given her all to the Lord. Saved by the grace of God and washed in the blood of the Lamb. See, tonight she's in heaven. Are you ready? Mommy, are you the Lydia? Sir, is this a picture of your life? You need to get to the cross. You need to come to Christ. And you can be saved tonight if you're willing to come. May God give you the grace to come and trust him. Before
it's ever too late. Let's bow in a word of prayer. I want to thank you very much for listening. But I just wonder, has God spoken to your heart tonight? And in Lurgan Baptist Church, or even out there in the media, you're just now in a valley of decision. And you know, dear friend, what you ought to do. You know why? Because this may be your final opportunity. And you need to seek the Lord now, before it's ever too late. And I plead with you tonight in Jesus' name. Come to the Savior. Make no delay. For here in His Word, He has shown us the way. Father in heaven, in the stillness and the quietness of the moment, we thank you for your love and your compassion towards this dear lady and others around her. Thank you, Lord, for the day and hour that you saved her, redeemed her by your precious blood. And Father, though we've been looking at her life, we realize it's a picture maybe of many in the meeting tonight. Religious, respectable, but still not redeemed. And Lord, should there be one in our midst, we pray in Jesus' name that you give them the courage to stand up and say, here am I, Lord. Save me. Be pleased to separate us with your blessing. Take us to our homes in safety just now, we pray. And might your hand rest and abide upon us all until we meet again. And everybody said, amen. We'll not sing any more tonight. My time is gone. And I'll be at the door. And I want to say this, if God has spoken to anyone, if you'd like to talk to us about your need of salvation, feel free to have a word with us before you go.